No artificial intelligence was involved in the creation of this episode of The Ron Van Dam Show. As a matter of fact, very little intelligence of any kind is typically involved in the creation of The Ron Van Dam Show. You're listening to Ron Van Dam on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's The Ron Van Dam Show.
Artificial intelligence.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
It will be the downfall of society, as if society hasn't downfell yet. Is there such a thing as downfell? No, downfall, no downfell. Hey, welcome to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess which one I am? I'll give you 2 minutes to figure it out. Time's up. Welcome to the program. It is Ron Van Dam Show. I'll be with you for the next 30 minutes. After that, you're on your own, and then all kinds of horrible things can happen. So this is your comfort zone. Just sit there and shut up, and I will talk. It's a portion of the program where the theme music plays in the background and I make these ridiculous, insane comments that are supposed to be of some entertainment value. That's what the purpose is. Whether it's happening or not, that's hard to tell. All right, that's enough. That's enough. I'll start the show by complimenting you, because that way you're like putty in my hands. Ugh, that's a disgusting thought. You're looking very good today. No? You seem like a very nice person? No, that doesn't work either. You smell really nice? Oh, you like that one, huh? You like to smell nice, don't you? Okay, whatever. Welcome to the show. This is a program where I talk about things. I have a guest toward the end of the program, and then it's over. I mean, it's in the scheme of things, it's a very short interaction, so stop complaining. And by the way, if you want to listen to the rest of the program, you need to put another quarter in the slot. What's slot? Where's he talking about? I just confused you. All right, you ready? Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, please prepare yourselves. It is that time again for Ron's Fact of the Day.
The fact is, I hate AI. Those two letters, when you put them together, bad things happen. I don't mind the letter A by itself. It starts everything. I think that's a great concept. Followed by I, though, that's awful. And I doesn't mean like there's no I in team. No, it's not that. It's AI stands for something. It's artificial intelligence. But we don't say artificial intelligence anymore because it takes too long to say it. In the amount of time it takes to say artificial intelligence, you could have conceived a child and actually had it delivered by Amazon. By the way, that'll happen someday. You'll conceive a child and Amazon will deliver it. Free delivery. And that'll be the draw. Anyway, artificial intelligence, AI. And when someone says AI, I just, all of a sudden, it's like, oh, the downfall of society? You're talking about that? There were so many downfalls of society recently. It started with Trump. Then it became the pandemic. Remember that? And they were like all these downfalls. Then these wars started breaking out. Oh, my God. Downfalls up the ass. And then we started talking about AI. And everybody came to realize we're screwed. That's it. We're done. there were so many books written about it back in the late previous century, the 1960s, 70s, 80s. They were warning us someday we're going to actually create computers that are smarter than we are, and then they're going to take over and whip our ass. Well, part one happened. Part two is actually happening as we speak. Yeah, yeah. Computers are doing the stuff that we not only don't want to do, but we just can't do it. We're creating intelligence that is more efficient. Sure, that's easy. Smarter than us? That's scary. Now look, I'm not saying that humans are incredibly smart things. It's not hard to create something that's smarter than humans. That's a given. But to unleash it amongst the public, that's a problem. And it all started pretty much with these robocalls. Yeah, I'm still getting them. I'm getting them more than any time in my life. To me, a robocall, and this is a horrible thing to say, but I'm not profiling at all. But if someone calls me and I can't understand what language they're speaking, I know it's not the air conditioning repairman from down the street. And then Comcast and many of the larger companies in this world started using AI robotic calls. No, don't do that. If I have a technical problem and I call a company and I say I have a technical problem and they say I don't understand, and then I'm speaking to another country. That's okay. I don't mind that. I'm a worldly kind of guy. But you got to speak my language before you can help me. Do you understand that? You can speak whatever language you want. There are hundreds of languages on the face of this earth. That's fine. There's no problem with that. But if I'm looking for help or customer service, you have to speak the language that I speak too. And you have to do it in a way that I can understand what the fuck you're saying. It's not being racist or anything like that. It's just I'm just trying to get my thing taken care of. And that's the problem. I don't know. I don't understand what's going on, to be honest with you. Now I'm arguing with robots on the phone. When I call somebody, there's no human being there. There's just robots. And robots used to actually be like telephone operators where they would get me to the proper customer service person that could help me in that particular division. You know, are you calling about billing? Are you calling for a technical problem? Are you calling because you're pissed at us? Are you calling because you don't understand something? Are you calling because something doesn't work? You're calling because someone stole something of ours that you're paying for? Are you calling because you want to upgrade your service? Are you calling you want to cancel? What the fuck are you calling me for? That's what the robot does. I miss the person that answers the phone and we have like a relationship. Now I get a robot thing. That's bad. That's bad enough. Because if I'm calling you, it's because I got a problem. I don't call businesses to say, hey, I just wanted to call and say how much I like the business. Just saying, I'm calling to tell you how much I love the product. Nobody does that. They only call when they have a problem. And sometimes the problems are immediate and people are frustrated. So what happens when people are frustrated and they call somebody or they go online to have it taken care of? They get all these things, all these problems, all these directive things. Did you have this? Well, then you have that. Can you do the star? What's your phone? What's Social Security? What's the last four digits of your Social Security number? What's that? What's your account number? What's that? What's that? Give me your address. Tell me where you live. Tell me what time you're not home so I can come in and take your stuff. Look, I have a problem. I want to talk to somebody. Nah, you're not going to. It's frustrating and annoying, and I'm sick of it. And guess what? I'm the person paying for the service. I'm the person paying for the product, and you're treating me like crap. It's just unbelievable. It's unbelievable. What companies don't understand is that customer service is more important than the product itself. They don't get it. They just don't get it. Because they're saving money. That's all they care about. They don't give a shit about you. They're saving money. That's all they care about. I hate AI. I do. Can't stand it. Many times I'll make a phone call to a company or even go on that computer thing. The what do they call that? Your cell phone, your online situation. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's not that effective. I have a cell phone. I'm supposed to use my cell phone for everything. I know it makes phone calls, but it does so many other things. It takes care of everything. I can order things. I can get information on things all on my little cell phone. So I have to squint and wear special glasses just to see things on a tiny screen. And when I do so, it gets messed up. Something happens. It's wrong. I lose my service. It's all wrong. I have a desktop. I have a desktop. We have a studio, so we have large computer monitors all over the place, and you know I can somewhat do business on that. Doing business on a cell phone? I don't think so. Stop. Just stop it. But even when I use the old desktop, the computer will tell me, well, you know, before we get into your problem, they do this on the phone too, before we get into your problem, have you gone to our website that has frequently asked questions? Well, what are you saying? I'm saying these are other idiots that are asking the same question as you are, and we already answered the question for them. Why should we bother talking to you? Because I'm paying you for a service and a product. That's why. I just wish, my greatest wish, not my greatest, but, you know, for theatrical purposes, my greatest wish is that there would start to be a slew of companies that are created by intelligent business people who say, we want to talk to you. When you call, we will answer and we will take care of your problem, if there is one. That's all I want to hear. That's all I need. Look, everybody's product is pretty much the same. The cost of most things are pretty much the same. Some are more expensive, some are less expensive, but they're all pretty much the same. And all your products, they're pretty much the same. Some are better, some are worse. I can deal with better and worse. They're all pretty much the same. What makes your company different? What makes your product different than the others, besides the name on the box? It's your customer freaking service. That's what makes you shine or die. And they don't understand this. You know, if I have some chore around my house that I can't do, which is everything, I will call a number of places, I will go online, and I will contact a number of places to get an estimate of how much that service would cost or how much that product would be. When you go on the Amazon to buy something, which is where everybody in the world goes to buy something, you compare prices and you compare the ratings. You know, is it 5 stars, 4 stars, 3 stars? And you look and see the people that hated it. And there's always a couple of people that hate it, and that's usually me. They tell you why they hated it, and you realize, well, I mean, you're like 1 out of 1,000 people that hated it, so like, fine. Okay, I get it. We compare, but they're all pretty much the same. Yeah, you know, will I go for the person that charges the most for a service? No. Will I go for the person that's charged the very least for the service? I might, but I know that the quality of the work possibly might not be so good. I go for the person in the middle. I go for the person with the most experience. I go for the person that I spoke to human, and found that they understood what I was saying, understood me, sounded confident, sounded professional. That's who I go with. If I want the job done, I want it done right for a reasonable price. But I've got to talk to the person that's doing it. Or if I call a company and I go through the robo crap and then I speak to an operator or somebody who works there and they sound like very, very with it and very coherent and very efficient, I'll go with them. Because it's not so much the product, it's the service of how the product is achieved. Are you like me? I didn't ask you if you liked me. By the way, if you do, hit that little button. If you're listening on one of those platform things, not on the, if you're listening on the radio, this isn't going to appeal to you or have anything to do with you. If you're listening on one of those computer things and it says like, just do me a favor and press that, whether you hate my guts or not. Just press it. I mean, seriously, that's all I'm asking. Well, I'm not asking. My social media manager is asking. I don't even know what I'm talking about. But anyway, if I like the person, I'm gonna hire the person for the job. I'm going to get their product, period. And if I get your product and I have a question about it, and if I try to contact to get the question answered or go to your stupid little website and you give me the information I'm looking for without any hassle, I'll continue with you. Otherwise, you are history to me. Boom. AI. Someday movies will be created where you don't really need the people. When you're watching something, you don't have to, it used to be when movies did stunts, it was like, whoa, that is like an incredible thing that they did. They went to a lot of trouble for that. Now it's like, well, nobody did anything dangerous. It was just illustrated and CGI'd and things. And, it looks real, but it was nothing. They didn't do that. Boring, boring, boring. I don't know. I think it's just all, I think your technology is making things worse. Now there's discussion of Russia and the United States having space forces. Someday there'll be military threats from space. Oh, good. This just puts another level on our anxiety for existence. Yeah. Space warfare, where you can destroy the Earth from up there. We're going too far. It's moving too fast. And someday the lesson's going to be learned in a very horrible way. And there you have it. What we're not able to do, other countries are starting to do this. We don't know what we're talking about because our Congress is all old people, which is fine. I'm old too. That's wonderful. Let's have a mixture. Because the younger people need to realize that they're screwing up the world just as fast, perhaps faster. You can't unleash something into society without coming up with all the possible ways to control it so it doesn't get out of hand. Once it's out of hand, it's too late to control it. I use this all the time. It's the toothpaste thing. You can squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube, but you can't put it back in. It's virtually impossible. And that's what AI is. It's out, and we don't know how to contain it. So we just stand there, and we watch it seethe and grow and multiply to the point where we are nothing but slaves and servants to this product. And that's AI, artificial intelligence. There you have it, babe. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, There'll be some more program, and our guests will be joining us as well. But before we do that, did you ever hear of a guy named Jack Barnes? Oh, my God.
Have you been injured in an auto accident or on the job? Do you want to make sure that you get the best possible settlement when you go to court? Then you need to call me, Attorney Jack Barnes, from the law offices of Barnes & Barnes. For over 10 years, I've been getting my clients the best possible settlements, and often more than they actually deserve, based solely on the sound of my voice. Judges and juries want to get me out of the courtroom as fast as possible. That's why they're ready to settle when they're dealing with Jack Barnes from the law offices of Barnes & Barnes. Call today for a free consultation. 1-800-257-2525. That's 1-800-257-2525. Call today. You can't lose with Jack Barnes.
MJ D'Souza joins us now. She's an audiologist and director of patient experience at Belltown. And we're talking about keeping checks on the health of your ears, the hearing. And I know that May is Better Hearing Month, but I guess you would say every month is Better Hearing Month, I would assume, right?
That's right.
Okay. There are so many reasons why once you get their hearing checked, it's not something that we do on a regular basis. We don't have audiologists for a yearly annual exam or anything like that. We do this when we experience some type of concern. Is that accurate to say?
Yes, it is. And actually, hearing loss is so common. It's the third most common chronic health condition. First being heart disease, second is arthritis. So people often don't realize how common it is. So it's so important to get your hearing checked regularly.
I know of so many people, and they're young adults and middle-aged adults, who through their occupation, it becomes a hearing hazard, and we don't even think about that. Sometimes even lifestyles can do that, and I guess that catches up to you when you get older, the wear and the tear on that type of lifestyle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, hearing loss occurs at any age. Mm-hmm. It becomes more common as we get older. And as you mentioned, noise is a huge contributing factor to that. And one of the most modifiable risk factors, actually. So being aware of your noise exposure and trying to limit that is so important to protecting your hearing.
Yeah. And again, many occupations, actually. I have a friend who's a DJ and is now suffering from that occupation as a result.
Yeah, it's so common, unfortunately. Yeah.
So what are some of the signs, obviously, you know, when you say to people, excuse me, what did you say? I mean, you know, that's obvious. What are some of the other signs that might be coming through?
Sure. Well, as you mentioned, asking people to repeat is a really common indication. And it's when you're asking people to repeat more than you used to, when you're starting to notice that. Mm-hmm. One of the earliest signs of hearing loss, one of the earliest warning signs, is noticing increased difficulty in noisy situations. So if you're in restaurants, small groups where there might be multiple conversations, mm-hmm. And you start to notice that you're really struggling, you know, that's one of the earliest signs. But other things include, you know, family and friends are saying that you're listening to the TV too loud or the radio too loud, those types of things.
Yeah. Do we tend to talk louder ourselves but don't realize it for that reason?
That is another sign of hearing loss as well.
Really?
If family and friends start to say that you're speaking louder than you used to, that can definitely be an indication.
How does one naturally hear themselves when they talk? Is that what that's about? How does that work?
Yeah, you do. You monitor your own voice through your hearing, just like you you know, detect anybody else's speech.
Interesting. Is it very involved to see an audiologist? Is it something that you recommend for somebody? How do you go about doing something like that?
Yeah, it's really easy. And actually, for the month of May, Belltown is offering free hearing screenings nationwide. And to get more information about that, you can visit our website at belltown.com, Or you can call. We have a 1-800 number as well. That's 1-800-BELTONE, BELTONE. And getting a hearing screening is so easy. It's quick. It's painless. So there shouldn't be any reason to hesitate. And once you get the screening, the audiologist or the hearing care professional will review the results with you and recommend the best course of action.
Very cool.
So it's really, really easy.
I've done interviews of this sort over the years, and every time I speak to somebody like yourself, I'm amazed that the technology of hearing aids, I mean, just like when you wake up the next morning, it's already advanced. I mean, I used to see the big hearing aids that would go over the ear, and it would look like you have a second ear there. Now you don't even know that you have one in the ear. It's like totally unnoticeable and far more effect. I mean, to me, that's incredible.
Yeah, I mean, the advances in hearing aid technology are absolutely incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, you know, we live in a very technological world, and those advances have happened in all aspects but particularly for hearing aids.
Yeah.
You know, now the sound quality is better than it's ever been with hearing aids. And, you know, there's also seamless integration now into our modern lifestyle. So we've got hearing aid features that allow you to stream music from your smartphone direct to your hearing aid. You can take phone calls through your hearing aid. You can even do hands-free calls with a simple tap on the hearing aid as well. So, I mean, it's really cool.
See, I didn't even know it went that far. That's incredible.
Oh,
yeah.
It is incredible. Yeah. So, I mean, they're fully integrated with all of the technology that we use every day.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I know at a point it was embarrassing to wear a device, but now that's not the issue anymore. You cannot see it. So there you go. No excuses.
Absolutely.
There. All right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I understand that there's also a chance to win a free set of hearing aids.
Yes, actually, also in May, we're continuing to celebrate Better Hearing Month by offering one free set of Beltone hearing aids for every day in the month of May through our charitable organization, which is called the Beltone Hearing Care Foundation. And so for qualifying individuals, that is an opportunity to experience better hearing. And to get more information about that initiative, that is also available on our website at beltone.com.
Okay. And again, that's BELTONE, just for those that may not be sure. And that's a place to go for more information.
Right?
Yeah. Hey, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. She's MJ D'Souza, and thank you so much. Okay. Hey, let's go to our next guest. Elizabeth O'Brien joins us. She's Executive Director of Hiring Our Heroes and U.S. Chamber of Commerce, and Mike Kelly, who's Assistant Vice President, Military Affairs, U.S. Chamber of Commerce. So thanks for being with us today. How are you?
We're great. Good morning.
We're talking about something we talk about frequently on this program, and that is hiring the military when they come back from service and the military spouses, and the entire concept, how it's a great idea and makes a lot of sense. So thanks for being with us. Let's start, Elizabeth, hiring our heroes. That's been an ongoing effort, I understand.
Yes, we were launched in 2011 out of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce in response to the crisis the country was facing around veteran unemployment. And USAA was one of our first great partners in that effort. And we saw the country rally, quite frankly, to knock down that veteran unemployment number.
And we talk about those coming back from the military themselves, but military spouses is also a situation, I understand.
Yeah, military spouse unemployment, we are actually at a rate of 21% unemployment, so 4 and 5 times the rate of our national average, and then factor in that we are 92% female. And so we've had great partners like USAA who have been in this fight to create meaningful solutions for from the start, but we are still looking for that whole-of-nation approach that involves small, medium, large-sized businesses to come alongside and be part of the fight and part of the solution to ensure our military spouses have a pathway to economic opportunity. In this day and age, we know that we need to be on par with the opportunity to have dual income like the rest of married families and domestic partner families in America.
I don't understand why that unemployment rate would be so high for that. What are the explanations? Why does that occur?
Yeah, well, I'll give you a great example. I've been an active duty military spouse for the last two decades. At one point, we lived seven places in 9 years. The military spouses are 10 times more likely to move over state lines. Two of those moves for us were overseas. And so the opportunity to find portable work and remote work and come alongside. USAA has done some great initiatives in which they have created opportunities for military spouses to really find a place to call home when seeking employment.
And what types of jobs have been successful in doing so?
For us at USAA, think of us, we're a company that was formed by the military to serve the military as a financial services, insurance, banking organization. So a lot of our employees work in call centers. So they are taking calls and claims from our members every single day. So a large amount of our workforce is what we call member contact. So they're dealing with our members every day. And how valuable it is for us to have employees who have that same shared experience as the members that they are serving on the phone. So it's incredibly important for us to make sure that they understand the military members we serve. But then beyond those call center roles, pretty much any other type of role that you could imagine could be auditing, could be risk and compliance review, could be corporate communications or public relations. There are all kinds of roles out there for our military spouse community.
So basically, jobs that you can do from basically anywhere are the ones that seem to be more successful for this purpose.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there are some roles that the military spouses really align to. We're seeing now the advancement of a lot of HR positions, so very popular with military spouses. So a lot of the resources that Hiring Our Heroes is putting in place are to focus on the right roles for the spouses at the right time.
Excellent. And I understand that today is a special day as well.
It is. Today is Military Spouse Appreciation Day. And so on the Friday before Mother's Day each year, that is when we recognize Military Spouse Appreciation Day. But my call to action for those that are listening across America is that military spouses should be top of mind every day of the year. It is imperative. 75% of our military spouses, families live in communities outside of the gate. So more than likely, you have a military spouse right now in your community that probably wants to go to work in the community that they are living in and a part of. And so when we think about this from a national security imperative and our all-volunteer force, having military spouses top of mind every day of the year is becoming more and more important.
It's interesting because I don't think the public understands the sacrifice that military spouses actually do make, and that is part of the whole service to our country concept, right?
Exactly. It's creating understanding and appreciation for the service and the sacrifice of not just the service member, but also that spouse and their family.
Yeah, no question about it. Okay. Where can we go for more information for those that might say, yeah, I can help out or I can use this help?
Yep, you can head over to our website at hiringourheroes.org. You can find us on LinkedIn at Hiring Our Heroes, and you can also find us on Instagram at HOH Millspouse.
Perfect. It's been a pleasure speaking to the both of you, and thank you so much for your time today and continued success.
Well, that'll do it for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, thank you to my guests and thank you to you, and I wish you peace. We'll be right back.